Hey, Black Rock Church, so good to be with you again today. For those of you again who don't know me, my name is Kevin Butterfield, and I'm one of the newest staff members here at Black Rock Church, and it's such an honor and privilege to be wherever you are today, whether it's in your living room or in your family room or you're watching somewhere else. So good to be with you. We're in the week two, the middle of a series called Lessons in the Wilderness. We started last week. I hope you had a chance to watch or to listen to that message. I'd love for you to go back because we're going to build off these things over the next few weeks. But this week, we're in part two of Lessons in the Wilderness. Last week, we looked at Scripture, in the passages of Scripture where the wilderness seasons of life are referred to throughout Scripture. It's a metaphor that God uses both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The wilderness, according to Scripture, are often times or seasons or places where God leads people and meets with them in a unique way. The wilderness seasons are often places of isolation, of hardship, of times of testing, of times, but also of times of meeting with God in a special and unique way. That wilderness seasons, although difficult, although times of testing, are places that we are called not just to survive, but to thrive. And so we're gonna be looking last week, this week, and next week at some lessons that we can learn because we are going to go through wilderness seasons. And in fact, I think most of us right now are in a wilderness season. So what does God want to teach us? What's his heart for us? What are the lessons that are there that he can infuse his character, his nature, his heart, his love, his dreams and desires and designs for us in these wilderness seasons? One of the things we looked at last week was this. It's what we do in the wilderness seasons that will determine what we're able to carry out of wilderness seasons. That what we do in wilderness times with our relationship with God will often not only carry us in the wilderness, but carry us out of the wilderness far closer to God and more like him than we've ever imagined. So last week, we started to look at the life of Jesus in his seasons in the wilderness, specifically in his 40 days in the wilderness before he begins the fullness of his ministry, because Jesus is the model for life. Jesus is our example of what life on earth, living in right relationship with God, can be like. So we're going to continue to dive into these stories, these lessons, these events in Jesus' life on what we can learn to carry us and thrive in wilderness seasons. Last week, we looked at Jesus in the wilderness, and we said the first lesson we have in the seasons of wilderness has to do with identity. We see that Satan has a plan for us in the wilderness seasons like he did for Jesus in the wilderness season. And the first thing that Satan attacked was the identity of Jesus. The identity of Jesus was formed as a beloved son. That's what we looked at last week. This week, we're going to continue. This week, we're going to look at two lessons in the wilderness. They are intimacy and dependency. Let me say that again. Intimacy and dependency. Before we dive in back into the scriptures, I want to start with this. God is love. That's what Scripture tells us. In the book of 1 John, John writes this, God is love, and he who abides in God abides in love. John says this, God is the very essence, the very nature, the very definition of love. He is the creator of love. He's the sustainer of love. He is the ultimate reality of what love is. Now, if that's true, if God is love, then think about this. That means that everything God does is in love and from love. Let me put it another way. Everything God does is relational. Let me say that again. Maybe you should chew on that for a bit. Everything that God does, not everything that happens in our world, but everything that God does and God does with us, his kids, is relational. So we're going to dive into that a little bit as we unpack today. So if you have a Bible in front of you, it will be up on your screen in a second, but I would encourage you to get in your own Bible today, whether it's a digital Bible or analog Bible. Read along with me. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 4, the book of Luke chapter 4. And in verse 1, we're going to pick up right where we were last week, and it says this. Jesus, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River where he was baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of it, he was hungry. Then the devil shows up in verse 3, and he says this. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." We looked at that last week. If you were the Son of God, where the enemy was attacking his identity. But then he continues, if you're the Son of God, you're hungry. You're out in the wilderness. There's no other food around. There's no grocery stores. There's no Chipotle. There's nothing. You're hungry, and there's some rocks. Why don't you, if you're the Son of God, tell those rocks to become bread? Then you can eat it. Jesus' response. Jesus answered in verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Man shall not live on bread alone. So the first temptation that the enemy throws is to attack Jesus' identity. The second one is this, the temptation that that the enemy throws at Jesus in the wilderness out of this hunger was this, turn those rocks into bread. Here's a subtle attack, accusation, and temptation that's in there. You know what the enemy's saying is? Hey, Jesus, do it yourself. Do it yourself. Let's break that down. He tempts him. If you're the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread. Jesus' response is, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone. Where was it written? Do you hear what Jesus said? He goes, it's written. Jesus is quoting the word of God. He's quoting scripture in the face of temptation, in the face of the enemy trying to get him to do something. The enemy is trying to release manipulation into this temptation, and Jesus responds with the word of God. But what's he quoting? What passage is he quoting? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's Old Testament. It's towards the front of your Bible in the book of Deuteronomy. But let me give you the context. This is Moses writing this book of Deuteronomy, and he's reminding the people of Israel of their 40 years in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 8, he's giving a summary of what all the lessons that they learned in the wilderness. And Jesus is quoting this passage. In verse 2, we're going to start. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. I'm going to read from the Message translation, the Message paraphrase, because I think it really captures the heart and the essence of Deuteronomy that Jesus is quoting. And here's what it says. Verse 2, Deuteronomy 8. He says, remember. That's a good place to start. Remember. Remember every road that God led you, the people of God, for those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you so that you would know what you were made of, whether or not you would keep God's commands or not. Verse 3, he put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. Then he fed you manna, something neither your parents knew anything about. Now, just stop right there for a second. Manna was a Hebrew word to describe what God would bring to the Israelites every day to feed them. The word manna really is this. It means this. What is it? What is it? It's a Hebrew word that really just summarizes when God released the manna to feed the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness. Millions of people in a place where there was no, there was no farms, there was no produce, there was no agriculture in that way. God was feeding them this thing that they go, what is this? He says something that your parents nor anyone else knew anything about. Sometimes the way God feeds us looks very different than anything we've ever experienced before. That's the thing. Sometimes when God's trying to feed us, we're like, what is this? Because it's different than what we would feed on normally. Keep going in verse 3. Why did God do this? So that you would learn that men and women don't live by bread only. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth. That's what Jesus is quoting here. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8. He's quoting to the enemy, trying to manipulate him and tempt him to turn these rocks into bread. He's reminding them of a lesson that the people of God learned in the wilderness, that God was teaching them through a season of depletion, that God was going to provide for them, and that men and women don't live just on carbohydrates and bread, no matter how delicious they are, but that man was created to live in connection and in relationship with God. He continues, drop down to verse 16, the second part. He says, the God who gave you manna to eat, what is this? To eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never even heard of before, in order to give you a taste of the hard life to test you so that you would be prepared to live well in the days ahead of you. You say, why would God do this? Why would God cause them to go through a hard time? Because the lessons that they learned in the wilderness would sustain them in lands of prosperity, in places of prosperity. The lesson that is here is the lesson of intimacy. Let me keep going. Jesus was quoting to the enemy this truth, not just the verse. He's quoting the heart behind the verse, the truth behind the verse in Scripture. By the way, the Word of God is a weapon. It's a weapon against the enemy for when we understand the heart and the truth behind it. Satan says this. Satan's really tempting Jesus. Hey, you've got appetites because you're hungry. You've been fasting. You have this hunger inside of you. There's rocks there. If you're the Son of God, you should be able to turn those rocks into bread. Really, the temptation is this. Take care of those appetites that you have your way. Take care of your hungers, your appetites, your way. In other words, you don't need God to take care of the hunger inside of you. The hunger, whether it's in your belly or whether it's in your soul or whether it's in your desires, in all that thing, that you can do it your way. And Jesus releases the truth of God's word and the truth of history in the wilderness to say, no, that's not it. Jesus is saying this, I live off of what my Father says. And my soul feeds off of what he gives me every single day. In the same way that if I eat bread today, I'm going to be hungry tomorrow and have to go back to bread. My soul is hungering for something that can only be met by what my Father gives me. And Jesus is really saying this. He's saying that he lives off of everything that the Father says over him, says about him, says to him in his word all the time. The word, translated word in Luke 4, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, is this sense, this word translated into English word, really means this. It's the way that a father speaks directly for our needs today in that way. And so Jesus' approach to the word of God, the written word of God, wasn't merely a habitual thing of just reading a text, although he had the habit of reading the text. It wasn't just an intellectual experience. So it wasn't just habitual. It wasn't just intellectual. It wasn't even primarily just instructional of how to do life. I believe that Jesus was saying to the enemy, the lessons I've learned in the wilderness come from the heart of God, that when I feed off of the word of God, it can be intellectual, can be habitual, but and even instructional. But primarily, it's relational. Let's go back to last week. Because Jesus fed on every word that came from a loving father's mouth to the ears of a beloved son. Let me say that again. When Jesus was living from the words of God, the word of God, you can learn so much from it, Jesus always interpreted scripture from the voice of a loving father to a beloved child. That's really important. Jesus fed on his Father's word. That's what we call intimacy. It's an intimate relationship with not just the word, but the Father, the God of the word. When we come to the Word of God in that way, when we come to the Word of God in a relational way, it can come to us and we can feed off of it in an intimate way, a relationship, not just with the book, but with the God of the book, that the words become alive in our souls and feed the very places of our life, because we're not just coming to it as an instructional book. We're not just coming to a religious text, and we're not just coming to a truth source, which it all is. We're coming to it as beloved children, hungering for the Father's voice in our life. And that's what Jesus did. You know, I loved it when my kids were little. Aren't they great when they're little in that way? And I love working with teenagers and young adults too. But one thing I loved about my kids when they were little is when they would get either scared or they'd get worried or they were upset, they'd come to me and I would pick them up. Or sometimes they couldn't even come to me because they weren't even walking at the time. And I would pick them up, I would hold them to myself, and I'd begin whispering to them. And there were times I gave them instructions, and there were times I was speaking truth over their life. But can I tell you, it wasn't just what I was saying, it was how I was saying. I was drawing them near, and I was whispering in their ear with love and affection. And I was saying things like, I'm here for you. I was saying things like, I care about you. I'm saying things like, you don't have to be afraid. And the words were really important, and the truth behind is important. But I can tell you, it was the intimate connection between father and child that brought them the most comfort in difficult times. And can I tell you, when you're in the wilderness seasons of life, when you come to the Word of God, it can feed the places of your life in profound ways when we're feeding off of God's Word like manna, like daily bread provided from a loving Father. That's what Jesus did. The wilderness place is often the times where relational intimacy can develop and where trust and vulnerability happens, and we can learn not just to read God's Word, but we can feed on God's Word His way. That when the enemy tempts us, we can feed off of our trust in the truth and Word of God. Intimacy, that's the first lesson. Feeding on the Word of God. The second word that we have for us today is the word dependency. Dependency. So keep going through Deuteronomy chapter 8 right here. Why did God do this? He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17, feeding them the manna every single day. He says, why did he do that? He wanted them to be prepared in ahead. And he says this, if you start thinking to yourselves when they enter the promised land, I did all this. And all by myself, I'm rich and it's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all of this wealth, so as to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors as it is today. Did you catch that? Why did God test them to show them what they're made of? He also wanted to protect them and be intimate with them, to provide for their needs. And that's important. In Deuteronomy, Moses says in this, he goes, God did all of that so that when you have a land of plenty, you'll remember who it is that provides for that, whether you're in the wilderness in want or you're in the land of abundance and plenty, that it's God who's the one who supplies all of your needs. Lessons in the wilderness. The first one is intimacy, living from God's word in heart connection with the Father. The second one is dependency. God was providing all of their needs. In the wilderness seasons, when everything is stripped away, you have to depend on God in profound ways, in new ways, and in powerful ways. You know, as a dad myself, and as a parent, it's my job to provide for my kids. You know, when my kids were 5 and 6 years old, I wasn't saying to them like, hey, when are you going to get a job? When are you going to get out there and work? When are you going to provide for our family? When are you going to, you know, go to the grocery store and put something on your credit card for a change and fill my refrigerator? Hey, when are you going to buy your own clothes, kid? No, it's a parent's job, privilege, and pleasure to provide for their kids. Where does that come from? That comes from the heart of the Father. And it's in those wilderness places, like when Jesus was in the wilderness, and like when we're in wilderness seasons, and like when Israel was in the wilderness seasons, to learn how to depend on God. I want to remind you just for a second that the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, where they were slaves, they were oppressed, they were poor, they had no power, they had no position, they had nothing unless it was given to them by a tyrannical country and group of people that wanted to hold them down. They were slaves, not only in their lifestyle, but even in their thinking. And so God leads them into the wilderness, because what he's not trying to do is make life harder for them. He's trying to change their thinking to from a slave mindset, which is like an orphan mindset, which is this. An orphan mindset is I have to fight for everything I get. I have to be in competition. I have to provide for myself all the time. And that is really hard. God was trying to teach them to go, it's not like that anymore. I'm your God. I'm your Father. And I'm going to put you in a place where you can't provide for yourself. I'm going to put you in a place where the other things in the old way of living doesn't work anymore. And even Jesus in the wilderness and us in the wilderness is a place where our old ways of living and coping and even doing things our way and providing for ourselves no longer work. God puts us in a place where we have to surrender and go, God, I'm depending on you for everything. The Israelites had to depend on God every day for the manna God provided, for the protection God provided. Jesus in the wilderness is saying to the enemy, I'm not going to do it your way, and I'm not just going to do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. Whatever he says, I do. Whatever he wants, I surrender to. Whatever his desire is, that's what I'm living from. I'm going to feed off of his truth because my Father loves me. I can trust him, and I can depend on him. See, intimacy and dependency in the kingdom of God are connected, because it's out of relational intimacy that I can trust myself to a loving Father for his provision, for his protection, and for everything I need. When you're in the kingdom of God and you're living as a beloved son or daughter, then you work in partnership with God to receive all that he has. I don't have to fight to get what I need. I have to come to him and learn how to receive it. I have to trust him in that way. We're going to talk about trust a little bit next week as well as we continue to look at these things. But that's where I want to just end. I want to end by just thinking about a couple of things. In your wilderness seasons, and maybe you're not in a wilderness season, maybe just in your life, do you have an intimate connection with God as a loving Father? Does it flow from your identity as a beloved son or daughter? When the enemy comes to you or wilderness seasons are very difficult, do you press into that connection of intimacy with God as Father, like Jesus said, and go, I'm not going to do it my way. I want to do it your way, God, because I can trust you, because you're really good, and because you love me. And are you in a place where out of trust in God that you can be dependent? Are you allowing him to show you his goodness, even in difficult times, that he can provide for you sometimes physical needs, but sometimes, most often, it's heart need, it's soul needs, it's relational connection that we need in him. And I can say, God, I'm learning to depend on you. The wilderness is a place where often so much is stripped away that we have no choice but to surrender to God in intimacy. Let him whisper in his ear, in our ear. Let him come to the word of God and say, speak to me today, Father. I need your daily bread. Where we can come to him and say, God, I'm depending on you. You're the one who provides all I need. If I have a job, it comes from you. If I have finances, it comes from you. If I have resources, it comes from you. If I have the soul need, I need to come to you. God is looking for a family. God is looking for a community. God is looking for people to learn in relationship with him. Remember, God is love, and everything he does is relational. To learn from relationship with him, that I can come to you in intimacy, and I can trust you in complete dependency. When we allow God to form those things in our life in wilderness seasons, it carries us through so much. And then the rest of the world looks at us in wilderness season and says, there's something different about you. And we say, it's who I know. I've got a loving Father that even in the tough times, He hasn't left me, He hasn't forsaken me, and He calls me His own. I want to bless you today. I want to bless you today to reach out to a loving Father in wilderness seasons and to say, God, I want to be closer to you in intimacy. And I want to trust you in greater ways in dependency. I want to put my faith and trust in you. And when the enemy tempts me, when the enemy attacks me and life gets me down, I can say, Dad, I'm yours and I need you. Knowing that He as a loving Father always rushes in. Let Him whisper in your ear through His word this week. Come to His word this week, not merely as a text, but as words from a loving Father. Let it feed your soul and build your trust in Him. I bless you, Black Rock, to know God in His intimacy and to trust God in complete dependency. Have an amazing week. Thanks so much.